Now in studio we have none other than Dara Connolly from Haven's Pharmacy, Connolly's in Main Street, Tramore. Good morning, Dara.
Good morning, Damien. Good morning, everyone.
Beautiful day out there, isn't it?
Oh, we're blessed with the weather. Fantastic.
Beautiful day. We got a lovely response last week to the Lions Club message in a bottle thing. So again, that's progressing.
Absolutely. Watch this space. We'll really get that off the launch pad now in September, kind of back to school time.
Today we're talking about gut health. And I'm not trying to say that with a German accent to, and I say good health. It's not good health. It's gut. G-U-T. Or as we'd say in Wicklow, go health. You don't pronounce your T-H's. And in particular, we're talking about stools. And by stools, we mean poos. So if anybody has a problem with this topic, well, you're not going to learn anything. You might turn off and you might be turned off in your head. But this is a really, really important topic. And this is the reason we're talking about it. It is so important because we're talking about research from UCC. We're talking about colon cancers. We're talking about the issues of what happens with your tummy and how to help your tummy and all the matters around that. I'm going for a colonoscopy in 2 weeks' time, my first time ever. I've a little sort of a pain down there in the last while on the bottom right-hand side. Hasn't gone away. It's not that bad. But thankfully, the health service, I've just managed to get an appointment and I'm going to get it checked out. I'm 54, because a lot of people over the age of 50 should get checked out as well.
Correct.
What's your main point regarding gut health this morning, please, Dara?
I want to draw attention to this topic because there's lots and lots of really good scientific pharmaceutical research being done into this area, because we're learning more and more all the time about the benefit of having a healthy gut and the benefit that that can have in lots of different parts of your life, your health, the medicines you take, the vitamin supplements that you might take, but also how those medicines and how your general health is affected by the composition of your gut biome. So very basically, and this is what we try and do best, Damien, is to make something that is better with pictures workable on the radio. When you think about it, food goes in your mouth and it gets digested in your system and it comes out your bum as feces. So as everybody knows, feces can have different shapes, forms, colours, smells, and that is a good indicator in many ways if there's any changes going on with your system. So if anybody's interested as to what this looks like, there's a very interesting chart called the Bristol Stool Chart, and maybe people have seen it when they're having a conversation with the dietitian or a general practitioner or a consultant or a nurse or a pharmacist.
And I will post this picture as well, and it's stool, S-T-O-O-L, so we're not talking about stools you sit on. There may be stools that you might walk on sometime. And there are 7 different types of stools. And
absolutely.
Again, that's another word for feces or poos.
So you've got it there in front of you, Damien. So do you want to just give the seven varieties? So
okay.
And this will make sense to people as you call them out.
Type 1, separate hard lumps like nuts, hard to pass. Type 2, sausage-shaped but lumpy. Type 3, like a sausage but with cracks on the surface. Type 4, like a sausage or snake, smooth and soft. Type 5, soft blobs with clear-cut edges, passes easily. Type 6, fluffy pieces with ragged edges, mushy stool. And type 7, watery, no solid pieces, entirely liquid. Now again, some people might be disgusted that we're talking about this, but it's very important to talk about these things because this can be a very, very specific indicator, not just on what you've eaten, but potentially what is going on in your gut.
Absolutely. So to go back to the start, then, when you eat food, every time in our digestive system, from your smell to tell you whether you should eat something or not, is all very primeval. So if you smell food and it smells nice, you'll eat it. If it smells gone off, some people are more sensitive to that than others, that's your warning sign not to. When you smell something which is absolutely rancid, you have a visceral reaction to that, which means that you can feel it in the pit of your stomach. You can even feel that you may want to vomit. So that is your natural protection to say that the composition of this food isn't good. So that's one part of how we digest food. We digest it even before we see it, because we can digest it, getting ready for it when we see it or we smell it. So everybody will know as well is when they're feeding the dog or even feeding themselves, if you get really nice smells, you start salivating. And you say to yourself, you can even feel your tummy gurgling to say that your tummy is getting ready for the food that you are about to eat. So that's part of digestion. So in your mouth, you then have enzymes that you secrete to help you to break down that food even before it gets to your tummy. And those enzymes are helped by bacteria, which are in your mouth, that live in your digestive system. All the way from your mouth, all the way to your bum, there is a collection of bacteria, viruses and fungi that live in your system and help you to digest food. And by having a good and effective gut biome, a biome is just a nice word to say all the biological things that are going on within your system. If you have a good gut biome, you're going to have a good digestive system. And what you should start to see then is you should start to see a consistency out the other end, which is your poo. So what you're looking for with your poo is something then that you should be able to go to the toilet. It should be comfortable for you to go to the toilet. It shouldn't be on one end of the scale, which is to say that it's watery and it's like diarrhea. And then it shouldn't be on the other end of the scale, which is to say that it's so hard and compacted, it's actually painful for you to go to the toilet.
It also raises questions then about if there is blood seen on any of the faeces. Again, that can be a more serious matter, and we've discussed, like, again, this is a health topic, we've discussed it with a number of doctors. From a pharmaceutical perspective, you get people, I presume, coming in every second day asking you about constipation or about diarrhea, and I presume you're trying to tell them and advise them in terms of what's happening in your gut.
Absolutely. So the skill of the pharmacist and the staff that we have in the pharmacy, Damien, is to be able to have that conversation with people just to see, is this something which is a small episode? So it could be a small episode of constipation. Maybe that could be something that's brought on by weather like this, where it's easy to get dehydrated. The longer that the poo sits in your colon, the more water will be absorbed from it. So if it's a case maybe that you've been travelling or at work or doing a job where you didn't get a chance to go to the toilet and sit down, that might mean that you've held on to it longer than you needed to. If it's a case that it's summertime like it is now and you're eating different kinds of foods, you can get episodes of diarrhea because you are introducing maybe new bacteria into your system, or you're eating a food that your system mightn't be used to, and there's a triggering reaction within your system to say, hang on, we need to get rid of this really, really quickly, which is what diarrhea is. So by having those conversations, but also by having a good idea of what your normal toilet is like, you then have an idea of when this comes off the rails or when this is an episode. I'm delighted that you pointed out about it's a really good idea before you flush the toilet to have a look in there as well, because the things that you want to keep an eye out for are the colour, if it's not what you would ordinarily expect. And this is why you need to keep looking, because you have to know what ordinary is to know what extraordinary is. Is there a lot of mucus in there with the poo? Is the blood in the poo or is the blood around the poo? Because that will then give you an indication as to where that is coming from. And then the other thing then that you have to say with that is also the colour of your urine will give you a good idea, and the smell of your urine will give you a good idea if you're dehydrated. Because if you're dehydrated and you wee, you'll see that the urine will be very, very dark in colour. And then if there's a very different smell coming from your urine as well, it may mean that you could have a urinary tract infection. But it's all about knowing what normal is. So it's always a good idea to check your poo in the pan, and it's always a good idea just to have an extra look at the toilet paper to see is there any blood or anything there.
Yeah, because it could be a difference between life and death. Again, we don't want to frighten people, but in terms of colon cancers, and people talk about ultra processed foods and how they have increased the level of problems in the tummy and potentially increase in certain people, depending on their metabolism, increase in colon cancer risk. Others then talk about where you go out at the weekend and you have a few pints of Guinness, and your poo will look different on a Monday morning. And then you detox for 3 or 4 days and it'll look different. And you'll feel it. Like your body, your bowel is an amazing instrument. It's amazing. It really is. And I was talking to the doctor about this and how it's able to regenerate itself and how the bacteria are able to work with all the different things. And there's a very delicate balance there. And you'll feel it yourself. If you feel good in your gut, you feel good in your tummy. If you have a good digestive system, it helps you sleep better. It helps in so many aspects.
So much of the research that's going on now, and it's fantastic, it's happening down the road, particularly in UCC at the minute, is looking at the composition of people's balance between yeast, between fungi and between bacteria in their own intestine. So to give you an example, you can feel bloated. And a lot of the time that means that there's too much yeast in there. Because what's happening is if you could imagine making bread and you put the yeast in and then the sugar goes in and it's warm water, all of a sudden it starts creating gas. That's why the bread is expanding. Exactly the same thing happens in your intestine if you have too much yeast in there. Also bear in mind, Damien, when you talk about ultra-processed foods, the most ultra-processed food that you can see is sugar. So if you can think of putting a spoon of sugar into your cup of tea or your coffee, if you could imagine throwing that spoon of sugar onto a fire, it bursts. It's really accessible energy that happens. So also think about feeding that spoon of sugar into yeast that are in your intestine. There you go, happy days. They start creating a load of gas. Not only that, though, it also means that if you're eating a lot of very highly processed foods that have that ready sugar for the yeast go, this is party time, and you start getting more yeast. The yeast push out the bacteria, and then what starts to happen is the bacteria that help to digest your food, the harder, more roughagey kinds of foods, can't do their work, and then that upsets the balance further down in your intestine. So that's going to make a big difference to your poo and how comfortable your gut is. So one of the things then that's really important is you have to say to yourself, what kind of symptoms might you have within your intestine that show that you have an imbalance? One of the big ones then is going to be flatulence, because that excess gas has to go somewhere. So that either comes out one end or it comes out the other. And that's also a good indicator to say, if you have a very, very flatulent gut, is that an indication that there's an imbalance there?
I was talking to a chap in Jeff's pub there recently in town, and he was talking to me about bacon fries. And I didn't know this, but he said they're great fire lighters. If you put bacon fries, if ever you run out of fire lighters, put them on the fire and they'll keep burning for around 3 or 4 minutes. I never thought. And somebody else said crisps, certain types of crisps, which shows the different types of oils and stuff that are like you have to be so careful what you eat, and you are what you eat. And this is going historically 100 years ago, Salvador Dali. He talked about the study of scatology, which is this, and he talked about the importance of it. And it can really, really, really be so important for your mental health as well.
One of the things that's coming back from the research from UCC as well is that you have a lot of receptors in your intestine, which are called dopamine receptors and serotonin receptors. So they're mostly the medicines that you would take are mostly to affect those receptors in your brain. So for a lot of painkillers and antidepressants, those receptors in your brain are the ones that are affected by the medicines that you're taking, to try and get the balance right between those transmitters in your brain. So if you're feeling not yourself and you're not happy, maybe it's mild depression that you have, and you're prescribed some of these newer medicines, what will happen is in the first couple of days that you take them, you'll actually feel it more in your intestine than you will in your brain that these things are working because of the receptors that you have. The other one that happens is, and this is where I get excited as a pharmacist talking about these things, is your dopamine receptors in your intestine are very, very sensitive to those pain-killing drugs. So when it slows down pain receptors, it also slows down your intestine. So you can end up very constipated when you're on high doses of these painkillers, or even low doses for some people of these painkillers, and the effect that that has. The other thing then that is really interesting is that vegetarians, their process of from when the food goes into their mouth to when it's processed and comes out the other end is about 4 times faster than it is for people who are meat eaters.
Wow.
So when we're thinking about how they get medicines and how they take medicines, the fact that stuff doesn't stay in their intestine as long as it would do for a meat eater has a big effect on that. And then one of the other ones then to say with that is, when we think about ultra processed foods, a lot of the time what we're talking about things that are sugary and oily, but also we need to be very careful about our intake of ultra processed meats. So things like sausages, hams, those kind of foods can have quite an effect on the intestine. And like any of these things, Damien, it's about getting the balance right. So you and I have never had a conversation on the radio where we're telling people to stop doing this and they can't do that. It's about knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it and what the effects are as you go on.
Very much so. And everything in moderation, as my mother would say. A chap I used to know in passage years ago, he used to say to me, too much red meat, And again, a little bit of red meat is fine. I listened to quite a few podcasts that Mel Robbins and different people, and there was one recently about gut health. And what you're saying is brilliant. It's exactly, if not better, than the guest she had on, talking about it in a purely simplistic way and an accessible way for people. And finally, and briefly, in the minute we've left, pharmacists are very good with advice on things like this, so they will listen to you. So anybody who wants to go into a pharmacist, have a chat, talk about the different things, and there may be ways to help people.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean that everybody has to, but at the same time, if you're thinking to yourself that there's any resonance in the conversation we're having today about maybe flatulence, about how are you concerned about how you defecate and what your stools look like? Is it uncomfortable when you go to the toilet? Exactly like you were saying as well. If this is something that you think you need to be having a conversation with somebody about, it definitely is something you need to be having a conversation with somebody about. So it doesn't mean that you have to get yourself up to a hospital to talk to somebody. Pop in to the pharmacy, or the next time you're at the GP, maybe talk to the practice nurse, talk to the GP about this, and let's keep the conversation going.
Yeah, because it's kind of still a bit of a taboo subject. We talk about taboo subjects in Ireland and other countries, and it's something that people don't talk enough about. You don't want to go overboard on it or talk, we won't do any cliches or anything like that, but it really is an important topic. So if anybody's any questions, Dara and his staff and anybody working in pharmacies, but also go to your GP and have a chat. And then there are specific screening processes that the government and the HSE have put in place if there is a need for getting a stool sample and sending things away. I know some people might think it sounds disgusting, but it could save your life.
It could save your life. And those things will come to people through the post. Basically, you do it, you put it back into the envelope, you send it back to them in the post. It could save your life. Don't ignore it.
Don't ignore it. Dara Connolly, thank you very much.
Pleasure, Damien.
Thank you very much.